Naomi Hunter has been an ecological, peace, and social justice activist for over 30 years. In addition to being the Saskatchewan Green Party leader, Naomi is involved with the Interchurch Uranium Committee and the Craik Sustainable Living Project. The nuclear power industry has been on the decline for many years, but every 10 years or so, the industry seems to come up with some new strategy, with the latest being small modular reactors. Most environmental groups, however, recommend against nuclear power and favor wind, solar, geothermal, and ecologically sound form of hydro. Welcome, Naomi, to our Saskatchewan service. At the end of the service, we'll see how much time is left for some shared reflections. Over to you, Naomi. Thank you.
Thank you. I urge all those who are committed to justice, sustainability, and peace to commit to moving Saskatchewan to a 100% renewable electricity grid. Based on the financial cost, plus health, waste, and weapons proliferation, SMNRs are a false and costly detour from real climate action. And I always put in SMNR because they leave the N out so that people do not realize these are nuclear reactors. Big picture, the nuclear industry worldwide is tanking. In the 90s, the world got 17% of its electricity from nuclear. Today, it's under 10% and sinking. And that's because the majority of the world's reactors, just over 400, were built in the 70s and 80s. And then Chernobyl blew in 1986 and sent radioactive particles around the globe, contaminating much of Europe. That stopped new reactor sales. Those pre-Chernobyl reactors are now at the end of their life and are being retired and replaced with much lower cost, safer, renewable power. And then, in 2011, Fukushima blew. A triple meltdown, ending new reactor sales again, with the exception of some being built in China and India. Germany, for example, after Fukushima, committed to phasing out all 22 of their nukes, and last Saturday shuttered their last three reactors. And because I wrote this a little while ago, that's actually a couple weeks ago now, so sorry about that. Germany is building out wind and solar, half of it community-owned, and they've committed to phasing out coal by 2038. In the face of declining market share, the nuclear industry is now desperate for a new market. And Canada has come to the rescue by inviting U.S. and U.K. nuclear companies to build their experimental technology here. I guess we've given up on can-dos. Yet we want to stay in the nuclear game. Alberta hopes to extract bitumen from the tar sands with a U.S. SMR. Saskatchewan hopes to keep our uranium industry afloat with a U.S.-Japanese reactor. Ontario plans to build up to four U.S.-Japanese reactors just east of Toronto. New Brunswick hopes to build one U.S. and one U.K. reactor, both of which will rely on plutonium extraction. Keep in mind that the most toxic places on Earth are places where they've extracted plutonium. Hanford, U.S., Sellafield, U.K., and La Hague, France. Already, $100 million has gone to these foreign companies to bring their untested reactors to Canada. And another $970 million was given to OPG from the Canada Infrastructure Bank in the form of a low-interest loan to build their first SMR. If ever completed, this will be the first grid-connected SMR in the world. All these chosen reactors are different, but none have ever been built anywhere in the world. They're all PowerPoint reactors, just paper designs, and all are expected to siphon billions of tax dollars, billions, and take more than a decade to build, if they ever come online. On top of these provincial projects, the feds are building an SMR research facility for foreign entities, as well as the infamous SNC-Lavalin, that company just keeps coming up, just upstream from Ottawa at Chalk River. This consortium has already received more than $1 billion per year. Not once, per year for 10 years. And another $1 billion for the research facility, all courtesy of federal dollars. And we have nothing to show for it. This is just the start. All these promised reactors will produce deadly radioactive waste and plutonium, which will need to be isolated from the environment for a million years, as stated by industry. And by the way, no country in the world has yet solved how to isolate or neutralize nuclear fuel waste. The best they can come up with is to dig a big hole on First Nation land, dump the waste in, abandon it, and hope it doesn't leak anytime soon. This is the proposal the Canadian nuke industry has put forward for all of Canada's nuclear fuel waste. And they're wooing the communities between Dryden and Ignace in Northwest Ontario, as well as the Teeswater area in Southern Ontario, with millions of dollars in gifts. We have fought such nuclear waste sites numerous times in Saskatchewan's history. Here, too, they are always proposed for Northern Indigenous lands. Meanwhile, the rest of the world is going renewable. Already, 16 countries are powered with 100% renewable power. Iceland, Norway, Costa Rica, Paraguay, and so on. And 62 more countries are committed to 100% renewable power. The International Energy Agency says that 95% of new power supply over the next 5 years will come from renewables. The world will spend $1 trillion on renewables this year alone. The market is driving this transition. Renewables cost a fraction of the cost of new nuclear, and they're a proven technology. According to Lazard, a large financial advisory and asset management company, wind and solar cost 3 to 4 times less than a new nuclear. And also according to Lazard, wind and solar can be rolled out in 1 year versus 10 to 15 years for a new nuclear reactor. So why on earth are we focusing on nuclear rather than renewables and efficiency? In Saskatchewan, we had an incredible solar net metering program that was the most successful in the country and had resulted in many small businesses bringing jobs and funds into our economy. Then in 2017, the SAS party decided with 1 month's notice to cancel this program, resulting in large-scale protests by environmentalists. In Ontario, the Doug Ford government, after being elected in 2018, canceled 758 wind and solar projects. You may have seen photos of wind turbines being buried there. It's not because they weren't good. It was because they were canceled by the Doug Ford government. Cut the conservation budget by 60% and is discontinuing a contract with QC Quebec for low-cost renewable water and power and storage. Instead, he's building 1.4 new experimental high-cost foreign SMRs, rebuilding 10 of their aging nuclear reactors, and ramping up gas power 700% during a climate crisis. Why do conservative governments hate renewables and love gas and nukes? Well, they seem to have an ideological hate on for renewables. Perhaps they think green energy is a lefty elite idea, despite it being the most economical choice. But also, the Ford government is supporting the country's largest gas and nuclear industry, Enbridge Gas, TC Energy, Cameco, Bruce Power, and OPG. Instead of representing the environment or consumers or taxpayers or future generations that will be left with a warming climate and deadly waste. Here in Saskatchewan, Scott Moe and the SAS party have voiced as part of their pitch for this in recent SAS Power panels that SMRs make so much sense in Saskatchewan because we mine uranium here. What they are not telling people is that the type of SMR that is being proposed for Saskatchewan actually is not suitable for our uranium. This is an industry based on lying, another aspect that poses concerns for the ethical community. We are in a climate crisis. The IPCC said in their most recent report that we need to reduce climate warming emissions by 50% by 2030. That means we must cut our emissions by half in 7 years. No matter how much money we throw at experimental, new-cost nuclear reactors, they're not going to make a dent at helping us reduce our climate emissions in the next decade, if ever. In fact, they're going to make it worse because we'll continue burning gas and coal while we wait for those NEECs to come online. It's eco-insanity and intergenerational injustice. We all need to ask our federal and provincial politicians across the country, why are they choosing the highest cost and slowest option to meeting our electricity needs? We all need to engage in this issue now before billions more are spent going down this wasteful radioactive rabbit hole. SMRs are a false climate solution, a dirty, dangerous, high-cost distraction from real climate action. As a postscript to the written speech, which you have seen, I will say that the reason I chose to focus on parallels between what's happening in Ontario and Saskatchewan in this speech is that Dr. Susan O'Donnell from New Brunswick, Saskatchewan, might have seen already, she tends to focus her presentations purely on examples from. So I prefer to look to Ontario, which I see more as how Scott Moe is styling his nuclear rollout. As well, there are a lot more similarities in the companies that are benefiting from the involvement here in Saskatchewan as similar to those in Ontario. Thank you again for having me, and I look forward to any discussion that may ensue.
Thank you very much, Naomi. That's I've certainly learned a few more things that I didn't know about. But if anyone has comments or questions, some sort of reflections, there's some time to do that now.
What do you propose for Saskatchewan's overall approach to reducing its greenhouse gas emissions? So I guess I'm asking both conservation of energy related plus generation of energy.
What I would propose personally is that instead of trying to do what has been done here with picking sort of a magic bullet solution and saying, okay, nuclear is going to solve everything, I feel that the climate crisis has reached a point here where we need to move swiftly, where we have let this go on for so long that we cannot just look to one solution anymore. The point in time when we could potentially recycle and look to one or two solutions to solve this problem came and went over 30 years ago. The entire time that the IPCC has been putting out its reports, okay, the entire duration of every IPCC report, actually during that time period, which is only a couple of decades, our climate emissions have risen 50%. So we have an idea that the amount of carbon in our atmosphere has been slowly building up since the industrial age. In reality, 50% of those emissions are within the time period of the IPCC. What I would propose for Saskatchewan is we need complete energy refits done. We need to have new buildings. Saskatchewan and the U of S here in Saskatoon in particular had an excellent program in the 1970s and 80s. We were seen as a model for the entire country as to how buildings can be built to not need to use all of this harmful energy. And it is shocking to me that we've gone from being a model for the entire country and indeed the world, and Saskatchewan has not actually changed any of the laws regarding how buildings are made. We have the technology. It was actually put in place for it here in Saskatchewan. So first of all, massive building retrofits and making sure we deal with leaky building syndrome. I see rolling out large numbers of wind and solar, which are uniquely suited to our province. We have some of the highest solar gain in the country, as well as wind and geothermal, as well as numerous other clean energy solutions that are readily available. We need to redo our entire transportation system. We need to ensure that we actually have effective mass transportation available in this province again. And we need to look to microgrids to produce our power. One of the biggest issues with power generation across the country, but especially in Saskatchewan, that is so vast and far-flung, is that we are actually mainly still operating under Tommy Douglas's electrical grid. Tommy Douglas electrified this province, And, of course, he's a provincial hero in Saskatchewan. But we need to replace that failing and aging grid. We need to look to small, local power generation in an ecological manner and see eco-friendly energy production centers right within the communities we live, because what a lot of people don't realize is that much of the power that we use is actually not wasted at the center where it's done. It's actually wasted along the way, along our power lines. They're incredibly wasteful, and up to 95% of the power from a major power generating station is actually wasted along the way to your home, business, or government facility. So I kind of look at the climate crisis as something that we can't look at just one facet of. We need to look at all the many options that we have available, and we need to actually employ all of them in order to deal with this. Not for our sake. Many of us in this room today are aging. This isn't going to be our problem. But I have a 22 and a 24-year-old who are more likely to die of climate change than old age. We must do this for the next generation. We must imagine that we will be around, and that those youth of today are going to be looking to us and saying, why didn't we act now while there was still time? We need to answer that question now, because ethics and morals says that we can't pretend that the youth will not be asking that question and wondering why their relatives did not act now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. I see a couple more hands raised on screen there. It's that top corner one, Joanne. Can you see it? Victor? Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, just a comment. I really appreciate your presentation, Naomi. I wasn't sure if fiscal numbers came about, but I just wanted to point out that, it's a nuclear nightmare for our premier to go down this road, because, I mean, you know, the guesstimate right now, and of course nuclear power always guesstimates low and then it ends up being massively high, like in Georgia, where their nuclear power reactors are still not operational, even though they should have been operational 5 years ago. And the estimate of, I think it was about $23 billion, and now has climbed well over $40 billion, and still not operational. So this is a terrible investment. Saskatchewan's SMR, you know, fantasy, you know, I think the price tag at current rates are something like in the $90 billion range. I mean, $90 billion. I mean, literally, you could take those billions of dollars and put it almost into any other power source right now and get probably 100 times better bang for your buck. And beyond that, you know, they've never solved the nuclear waste problem, which they probably want to saddle us with that. And, you know, even SaskPower's president recently admitted, you know, by Premier Mo to go after the federal government on this, because they don't want to close their coal generation until 2050. And sadly, the NDP went along with this crazy scheme. And basically, he admitted that, you know, SMRs are not a possibility until well past 2030, possibly even past 2035. So in the meantime, we're going to waste the next decade and a half on a fantasy instead of building out, like Naomi suggested, all these other alternatives, you know, like whether it's retrofits, energy conservation, et cetera, and that will create three times at least the amount of employment versus a nuclear build. It just makes no sense. And I, for the few environmentalists that buy into this fantasy, they're just buying into basically, you know, government-sanctioned tax subsidies for, you know, generations. It's not a good investment. It's not a wise investment. And I'm very saddened that our, you know, SaskPower, our Crown Corporation, has bought into this. They instead of consulting with people with real information, they've done several meetings now trying to massage the public into believing this fantasy. But I really hope the public doesn't buy into it, because Ontario's been saddled with a nuclear nightmare, and that's going to continue for probably generations to go. So, thank you.
Thanks, Victor. Monica? You want to unmute yourself first? Thank you.
So I'm just curious. I appreciated the presentation and everything. So I was told that small nuclear reactors are right now at the U of S. And if I understand the presentation, we're getting the fuel for that not from Saskatchewan, right? We're getting that from somewhere else to run that. And are they the same small nuclear reactors as what they're proposing right now?
No, but one thing that a lot of the time the public is not told about is there has been a very tiny, basically, test reactor. It's not at all like what an SMR would be. It's a test prototype that is to show people. It's a showpiece, and it has been there for quite some time. What many people are unaware of is that there was a lot of public outcry against this and has been for quite some time after it came to light. People make it sound like this has been in operation and everyone's happy about it for a very, very long time. In actuality, throughout the history of our province, since this came to being, there has actually been massive unrest on this subject.
So it's just a demo thing? It isn't heating portions of the U of S then?
No, it was. It's been purely a demo project for a very long time.
Okay.
but it has been sort of a to show how that could happen. However, in actuality, one of the things that, and this does sort of tie in as well, what Victor said, I'm going to extract a question out of that that ties into what you're talking about. And that is that one of the frequent selling points for nuclear technology is that they say that it is stable and will tie into baseload grid and that it will not be problematic. But what they found at the U of S is that actually there was massive fluctuations and problems, frequent shutdowns, even on this test project, because it was not stable. And although I did say earlier that I wasn't going to talk a lot about New Brunswick, I would actually instruct everyone to look up information on what's happened on the East Coast, because they actually, of course, have very small populations, similar to Saskatchewan. And what they have found is that they are struggling with a massive, like astronomical provincial debt due to investing in this already. And they have ended up with up to a month at a time in shutdowns. So despite being said that this will be stable power that will work so well for Saskatchewan in our extreme climates, we've actually seen the opposite of that, and that then they are ending up having to pay for imported power from other provinces. And so, as you can imagine, especially when what I'm saying is that right now we do not have that improved efficiency in our grid across Saskatchewan, if we put ourselves into a situation like that, once again, can you imagine the cost if we end up having to import power as we go through the federal shutdown of coal-based power plants? Despite the fact that Scott Moe is blithely saying that he's just not going to do what the feds say, there's actually a hefty fine involved in not following some of these federal protocols. And so if we transition off of those power generation systems into an intensely nuclear-dependent situation, when we go through long-term shutdowns due to the unstable nature of this technology, we could be in a position where we are also having to import our power needs from Manitoba that does have more hydro and neighboring provinces. This is an extremely, extremely expensive method of dealing with our needs here in Saskatchewan. Despite the fact that I have seen slogans and billboards all over the province saying growth that works for everyone, I would ascertain that here in Saskatoon, in 62 distinct communities, there are 58 of those communities in Saskatoon where people are living unhoused right now. Those are numbers pulled out by the provincial welfare system. And that I would like to see, if we are going to invest a high amount of tax dollars in projects, could we have a housing first policy for our province? Could we look to cheaper, more effective solutions for our power needs and look after people in our community with this extra funds that we supposedly have to invest in expensive projects? Could we stop people from freezing to death in our streets instead? That as well is a power generation issue. We need to get people into permanent homes. I, of course, see every issue is interconnected in the province. I don't see power or health care or social services or the nuclear issue as something that sit in standalone situations with one another. We need to look to all of these things as interconnected and how we can approach the future in a way that works for those who are struggling the most amongst us.
A couple of minutes left, so we have one last question, I think, and Coburn Hall, if you're ready, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Naomi, for that presentation. I think we're all aware that the main dilemma that Saskatchewan is presented with is the idea that the renewables are sort of unreliable, they're intermittent, so we need some sort of base supply of electricity to replace our coal. And the easy solution is build nuclear reactors that can sort of just fit into the slot. We also know that technically there are better solutions, and you've talked about some of them. I think most of the scenarios that have been presented by groups like the Environmental Society involve interprovincial collaboration. So, importing hydropower from Manitoba. And the long-term storage issues that are not yet well developed. And it seems to me the problems are not technological. We know that we could reach zero emissions from the electrical system by 2035 without going nuclear if we organized everything the right way. But it's extremely complex, and it seems to me that what we're lacking is the organizational skills in this province to make this sort of green alternative work. And I just don't know how that problem can be solved, because it is an extremely complex one of sort of redesigning the grid and building collaboration across provinces and, probably across the country. In a sense, I think our current government is sort of seeing plunking in some nuclear reactors to replace coal-powered stations is the simple no-think way of solving the problem.
Thanks to everyone.